Title of tonight's lesson is When God's Patience Runs Out. Would you turn to Amos, the book of Amos? We'll be looking at verse 1 of chapter 1 in just a moment. But when God's patience runs out. Now, some people are extremely patient, and some of us are not. Now, I don't know if you're the type that when you get in line at the grocery store, you want to get in the fastest of lines. I know that I do. So I go to the self-checkout. And you go move a little bit faster. But are you a patient person? Anybody there in TV land? Are you a patient person? How about when God's patience runs out? Amos chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. The words of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. And he said, the Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the habitations of the shepherds shall mourn, and the top of Carmel shall wither. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come and to be here on this Sunday night. We thank you for the nice weather we've had the last few days, and we look forward to a few more days of it. Lord, we thank you for the grace that is shown to us and that salvation is ours through Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that we know this from the Word of God, and that, Lord, we are so appreciative of your mercy, your patience, your long-suffering. And Lord, we ask now that your blessings would be upon us that are here in person or viewing on Facebook. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Throughout the Bible, we find judgment upon mankind. Adam and Eve were removed from the garden. And that had to be very difficult because it was a special place. Cain was promised a lifetime of judgment after he killed his brother. God brought judgment upon a violent and evil civilization when he flooded the whole world and all died but 8 men and women. Korah and his followers were buried alive due to their rebellion. Israel was defeated because of the sin of one man, Achan. Once the children of Israel were in the land of promise, they began to mingle with the nations around them and served other gods. And we find that every man lived according to his own desires, and God allowed those nations to come in and trouble the children of Israel, taking them into captivity. The 10 northern tribes were taken into captivity by the Assyrians. And then Judah and Benjamin were taken into captivity by the Babylonians. You think it broke God's heart to have this happen? Well, of course it did. And his patience ran out because they rebelled against him again and again, over and over again. God has brought judgment against the man, against the family, against the tribe, against the nation, against the whole world. Why? Because we forget who God is. And can I tell you, in 2020 in America, we have forgotten who God is. We don't need God because we have all the money we need. We've got our credit cards and we have the government that's helping us and bailing us out of issues. Why do we need God? Well, the fact of the matter is, God said that he is the one, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Amos 4 verse 4, 13. Amos 4 verse 13. Notice, for lo, he that formeth the mountains and createth the wind and declareth unto man what is his thought and maketh the morning darkness and treadeth upon the high places of the earth. The Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. We are never to forget who God is. Number one, God had given them want of bread. He had given them want of bread. I want you to ponder this. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you what you think is good bread. But let's look at verse 6, if you would, please. Verse 6 of Amos 4. And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and want of bread in all your places. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. They had drifted away from the Lord Jehovah. They had gone after other gods, and God brought judgment so that they had want of bread. Now, I think if you're going to have a good pizza, you have to have good what?
Bread.
Because if the bread is not good, the pizza's not good. Now, why am I talking about pizza? Because I'm going to order pizza right after the service. Okay? But good bread. Now, where do you get good bread from? Well, very good. You know what I like? Well, you know what I like. But I like to go up to Green Apple on 23 and Van Dyke and get their Swiss bagel, Swiss cheese bagel. Try that. That's worth the drive, folks. That really is. But bread, can you imagine if there was no bread? When the walls came down in Germany and communism began to falter in Russia and they began to come to America, they talked about those that came to America and they would come to the aisle where the bread was. And sometimes they would stop and cry because there wasn't just one choice. There were all those choices. Of course, Aunt Millie still makes bread. But, oh, I'll move along. But the fact is, good bread, and God gave them want of bread. Number two, God had given them want of water, verses 7 and 8. And also I have withholden the rain from you when there were yet 3 months to the harvest, and I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. So two or three cities wandered into one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Now I'll be honest with you, I like a good cold glass of water. When I go to a restaurant, I give my tip based on how much water the waitress brings or waiter. I like good water. And don't you like good water? Have you ever had water that tasted like rotten eggs? Oh, man, that's horrendous. Sometimes if I'm out of state, I'll ask the waiter or waitress, I said, do you have good water? And I've had them say, no, it's not very good. And I've had others say, sure it is. And then I've tasted it and I'm thinking, ugh. You know, when you have bottled water, don't you? I don't like the ones. I'm going to say I don't. Maybe you do. I don't like the ones where it tastes like salt, where they've added that to give it some flavor. I think I don't need their flavor. But water is important, isn't it? Because without water, you're not going to have life, folks. We must have water. Yet they would not return to the Lord. He brought judgment against them. And they refused to turn to him. Number three, God had given them want of food. Verse 9. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased. The palmer worm devoured them. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. They were in want of food. I remember many years ago, Don and I had a garden when we lived on Parsons. And we went out one time and I'd never seen a tomato worm. Have you ever seen a tomato worm? They're about yay long. They look like something that could be in a movie of horror. And I thought, what in the world is that? But maybe you have grown something and mildew got it. What was it that had mildew not too long ago? The zucchinis. So, you know, you want food that tastes good, right? Good tomatoes, good apples, good green beans. You want good food. Well, what if you didn't have it? What if not only you didn't have it, but nobody had it? And yet they did not return unto the Lord. Would you think they were stubborn? Yes. They were out of the will of God, weren't they? I wonder, what would it take for America to see their need to return to the Lord? What would it take? Would it take more than a depression? What would it take? Some have said that as long as we have our cell phones and the internet and cable TV, we don't need the Lord. I don't know. Maybe God will take that away too. Because don't you believe that people need the Lord more than we need all these other things? As nice as they are to have these things, maybe we should pray, Lord, whatever it takes, bring revival to America. But that's kind of dangerous, isn't it? Number four, God had given them pestilence and violence, beginning verse 10. I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword and have taken away your horses. And I have made the stink of your camps to come up unto your nostrils. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. God had given them pestilence. What would you call COVID-19? Would you call that a pestilence? I'd call it that. And yet have we returned to the Lord? No, we're turning to science. And I'm not saying that God cannot, through science, give us some form of a vaccination or something. But yet, as America, we are not returning to the Lord. We're not. But God brought them violence as their young men were slain by the sword. We have violence in America. And yet, we blame society. In reality, it's because we are not God-fearing people. And number six, God had given them death. Verse 12. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel. And because I will do this unto thee, notice, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Prepare to meet thy God. You're right, I did forget number five. God had given them fiery judgment. Fiery judgment. Verse 11. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Sodom and Gomorrah had judgment come against them because of their immorality. Some want to say, oh, it was because they weren't hospitable to the angels when they came. No, the angels came because of their immorality. And that was to take Lot and his family out of the city before it was destroyed. But the fact is, God can bring judgment, and maybe he'll bring judgment upon our country because of our lewdness and our immorality that is running wild in our society. And so judgment can come. So there was want of bread, there was want of water, there was want of food, there was pestilence and violence brought against them, the fiery judgment, and number six, there was the death that we've already talked about. It says, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Keeping your place here, turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. I would imagine the majority of you could quote this verse. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. Our sinful nature is something that we inherited, and we are all sinners. Romans tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But death comes because of sin. We were talking in the prayer band time of those who have illnesses and sicknesses, and we think that death comes because of sin, and disease comes because of sin. But aren't you glad that God, number seven, will give forgiveness? 2 Chronicles chapter 7 we'll be turning to shortly, but here in Romans it says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. I am so glad that he is merciful. I'm not going to ask a silly question and say, well, have you sinned? Because the Bible clearly says we've all sinned. But have you ever had to ask for forgiveness? That's a hard time sometimes, isn't it? To put your hat in your hands and stand before someone that you've offended and say, I'm sorry. Maybe you've had to do it, or maybe someone has come to you and said, I'm sorry. But when we come to our Lord, I believe that we need to regularly ask for forgiveness. Regularly. Now, I don't know about you, but I know if I could control my mind and my thought process, I'd be a whole lot better off. Now, I'm not going to give you illustrations of when I have done something wrong. Is that all right with you? Because if I do it, you know what I'm going to expect? I want each of you to come up and do the same thing. Okay? And I'm not going to ask you to do that, so you're not going to ask me to do it, right? But the fact is, we need to go before the Lord and ask for forgiveness, and I mean daily. You say, well, I've been saved. Of course you've been saved if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, but we're not perfect yet. We're not perfect yet. But we need to ask for forgiveness. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, do you want to be included in that, my people?
Yes.
You do want that, don't you? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. That's hard to do, isn't it? You know, we're almost taught that you are the king of the hill and nobody should have to humble themselves, but shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Oh, wait a minute. I have to do that fourth one too. I mean, okay, I'll humble myself and I'll pray and I'll seek thy faith, but do I have to really turn from my wicked ways? That's hard, isn't it? That's difficult. But the Lord says, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Do you think the Lord wants us to call unto him?
Yes.
He does. He wants to have a good relationship with us. His desire is that we will serve him willingly and desiring to be in a close relationship. Amos talks about two walking together when they are agreed. The other day after Donna sprained her ankle there in Gatlinburg, Samantha and I went out to a waterfall that wasn't too far from the motel, and we walked together back to the waterfall. You know, the fact is, sometimes kids want to run ahead. There's this desire to see what's happening, and because they seem to have more energy than adults, they want to run ahead, but we need to walk with the Lord. And it says, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You know what the worst thing that could happen to America is? If gospel preaching churches stop preaching the gospel. And unfortunately, too many churches have stopped preaching the gospel. They're more concerned with being politically correct than being biblically correct. And we need to be biblically correct first. But the Lord says, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Number of years ago when I was taking sign language class, I was over at Joann Fabrics. And I was parked in the parking lot because Donna had gone inside And two people came out that were signing back and forth. And one of them got upset and they turned their back to the other person. So as soon as they turned their back, what stopped? The communication stopped. Because the only way that the one could read the other is if they were facing each other. And so the one ran to the other side and began signing. And they turned their back again. And when I saw that, I said to myself, that reminds me of believers that when they don't want to hear from the Lord, they turn their back on the Lord. And yet the Lord runs to the other side and says, I still can talk to you. And he wants to hear from us. He wants us to pray. He tells us to come boldly to the throne of grace. Because he wants to heal. He wants us to be a nation that is godly. He wants churches to be godly and families to be godly. He wants individuals to be godly. If, that's a big word, isn't it?
Yes.
If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and heal their sin and will heal their land. Forgive their sin. Let me close with this thought. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Two choices. Not to return or to return. Shall we stand together? We'll sing a song of invitation. 489, I surrender all. One of the hardest things to do in our walk is to surrender our will to the Lord. But I tell you this, that whenever we are willing to surrender, we'll never be sorry that we did. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this invitation time, we ask now that your hand would be upon us. For those who have watched, Lord, touch their hearts also. And Lord, may we be convicted to do that which is right. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.